is a Bramble Jam podcast.
Hi, I'm Bran, and I love Hallmark movies.
I'm Dan, and I despise Hallmark movies.
And I'm Brennan, and I am in them.
And this is the Deck the Hallmark podcast.
Yeah. Always special when our boy Brennan Elliott joins us here on the pod.
Just feels
is
right.
Is this not three or four times he's been on now? It's a bunch. You're up
the
there,
fourth
Brennan.
Time, I think, boys.
Yeah, I think so.
Man, fourth time. I mean, he's up there in the pantheon. I mean, like, there's
I
not.
I always say when you guys call, I always tell that to Brandon. I'll move mountains. I'll come on no matter what.
I mean, God
move
bless
mountains.
You, this guy.
What a thing. And I was under the impression that was only God. But no.
Brennan can do it as well.
My mountains are only about this big.
That's right. They're little mountains.
It's literally just getting out of bed. But I could do it. I can do it. Brennan, it's great to see you, buddy. It was really good to see you at ChristmasCon to finally give you a hug in person. That meant so much.
Dude, it was so awesome to see you guys in the flesh. And Panda was there. Obviously, he's not there today with you boys. But to see you three guys, I mean, it was surreal because it's like you guys are these, like, podcast legends that we've obviously crossed paths via this medium, and to see you in person was just it was really cool, man. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
I said
it was
this,
like seeing somebody in the midst of all that chaos and craziness that you know we hadn't met yet, because all everybody else I don't even know them,
right? Yeah.
You know,
well, I said this on the pod I think this week, but Brennan's amazing when we interview him. He's even somehow nicer in person.
Oh,
like, you're just the kindest dude. I mean, like, just it had all the time in the world for us, and we really appreciate that, man. It was cool to meet you.
He's also my kind of guy, because I texted him to say, hey, if you want to get together afterwards, here's where we're going. And you're like, oh, I'm eating sushi. I'd much rather be eating pizza. And that's my kind of guy.
Dude, we all went back to the hotel, and there's only one restaurant in the hotel, and it's the sushi joint, which I got food poisoning on the Thursday when I got there.
Oh no.
Trepidatious. And me and Eric Mavis, and I can't remember who else was there. I think it was Ashley Williams. We were just kind of, you know, having a cold one and a couple bevies and some food, and it was just nice to decompress. And I hadn't heard from you yet when you called. We had already ordered. So, but I mean, trust me, I'd rather go have some wings and pizza and a beer and call. That would have been a whole lot more food-wise enjoyable for sure.
Was that your first Christmas con, or had you done the first
one? Never been to one in my life. That was my first con, period.
What was it like for you? Was it a weird thing? I feel like also a weird thing, like, after a year and a half of COVID stuff and not being around that many people, that was one side of it. But then the other side of it is just people really love you and they can't wait to meet you. And that's like, I haven't done anything. Like, why do you want to meet me? So what was it like for you?
You know, for me, it's, I mean, it was really great. I went in a little skeptical because I hadn't done one. I thought, okay. And I mean, I talked to Lacey and some other friends of mine that have done a million of them, and they said, it's really great. It's what I loved about it was actually, you know, the fans, whether they love or hate the movie or love or hate your performance or whatever, they're very vocal, but it's also through social media. So you don't get a chance to meet them in person, and getting a chance to meet fans and see how much maybe a project you did or a movie or a character really touched them was really, it makes you feel like you're not doing this. It's what you're doing is having some good in the world. You know what I mean? And I think that made me feel pretty special to know that there's people going through, whether it's, you know, an illness or divorce, or maybe it's just they need a break, and you flip on a movie I'm in or a TV show or something. And there's a lot of people that talked about a lot of stuff that wasn't Hallmark. That was stuff that I'd done. And it was kind of nice, but there was a lot of Hallmark fans yeah, it was humbling, but at the same time, you walk away going, wow, you know, maybe all that hard work paid off on some small level with somebody, and it was special.
I was going to ask you, what was how about give me a Hallmark answer and a non-Hallmark answer? What was the thing the fans mentioned most, like the movie or the TV show they mentioned most with you? I mean, all of my heart tends to be the one we get a lot when people talk.
Yeah, all of my heart, you know, anything, you know, a lot of stuff with Lacey and I, because we've done the most. We've done 9 films together. And she's, you know, I mean, one of my best friends in the world and love her to death. So we really established a real friendship and a working relationship that people appreciate and hope to do more of that. And people talked about that and just the diversity of roles I've played. They found that was kind of interesting, that there were so many different parts, that whether it was even from the look and the, just the, you know, such the diversity that I take pride in. But yeah, I think that more than anything. I mean, you know, Lacey wasn't there. Obviously, she had a, obviously her sister passed, which isn't any secret. People know that, and so she was obviously going through the, that family process. And so I called her and told her the fans were asking about her, and that kind of lifted her spirits a little bit, which was kind of nice to be a part of that. But yeah, I think that. And then a non-Hallmark answer is, you know, they talk about, you know, stuff, other series I'd done, Unreal or Night of the Museum, or just other projects that. I had a couple that flew from London.
Oh, wow.
England, not Ontario, but London, England, just to meet me. And then they come up and they pay their whatever it is, and you have a photo, and then they leave. And I thought, and I mean, you know me, I'm just genuine, honest guy. I like to think of myself as just tell the truth. And she's, they came up and they're like, we came in from London to see you and everything else. And I just went, why? You know, yep. Like, holy cow, you know, but. So that was kind of cool. But yeah, I mean, it just was nice to meet people that, I mean, these people are fervent, as you well know. I mean, these people, you meet fans watching Hallmark 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
You know? And so it was cool. It was really a lot of fun. And I, you know, it actually was pretty cool too, Brandon and Dan, is like, I got a chance to meet some of my other colleagues, like other actors and actresses that I hadn't had a chance not only to work with, or I'd been watching their movies or seen them on your show or seen them on other, you know, podcasts or other kind of, you know, talk shows, and getting a chance to sit and just chat with them, have a bevy, have some food was kind of cool, you know? And they all were really down to earth people.
I love that you say bevies.
Yeah.
It's just like it.
You couldn't get away with it. He says it.
He says it in a word. I try to say bevies and people are like, stop trying so hard. I'm like, just give me a bevy and I'll slow down. I want to talk about a couple of things that are going on. What's the latest on Crossword Mysteries? Is that still happening? Are we still doing that thing?
I don't know. Your word is mine. I haven't heard anything. I talked to one of our other executive producers a few months ago, and he had mentioned, you know, he was doing a lot of work with GAC and some other networks, but he, I don't know if he's doing a lot with Hallmark anymore. And he said, you know, you and Lacey, it's your show. So, you know, the fans really want to see more of them.
Yeah.
I think they're, you know, a lot of fun to make, and they, you know, they keep the audience entertained, but I haven't heard a thing.
I feel like Hallmark Movies and Mysteries is at an interesting like crossroads right now where, maybe they're moving away from the mystery series or what, cause they're playing different types of movies.
They're not playing just mysteries.
Yeah. So it's interesting. Right. Yeah. So it's interesting.
I don't know. You know, since the new guards come in, I mean, there's a lot of changes, like with any business, I'm sure, you know, when somebody comes in, they see their business model and they want to try to explore other things. Hey man, it's beyond my pay grade. It is what it is. I just know that, you know, you give what the fans want, you know? Yeah. So, but I haven't heard anything. I mean, I know Lacey's on board to do it, and so am I, and obviously more all in my heart. It's just for us. You know, we always want to work together because we get along so well. We know each other so well, and we're good friends. And so whether it's that or an All in My Heart 4 or something else, you know?
Yeah.
All in My Heart 4, that's a possibility?
Well, it's something Lacey and I have talked about. Lacey's really, really, really interested in kind of finalizing that chapter, kind of figuring out how to end it the right way. And that, obviously I think that's a series that she really, really cherished doing and enjoys doing. And then with Crossword, but with both of those, I haven't heard a thing. Well, so
it's, to me, it's interesting because the movie, you know, there's almost three different fan bases in Hallmark, and maybe I'm wrong on this, but in your experience, there's the group that is a fan of an actor, right? Or an actress or whatever. Like they're, you know, Candace fans or Brennan fans or Lacey fans or Tyler fans. Right. Right. Then there's people that are fans of the Christmas movies or specific movies they want to see. And then there are the mystery fans. I mean, and some people like it all, but like these mystery fans are always clamoring for the next chapter of this series. And
absolutely.
And Hallmark Movies and Mysteries doesn't do the same ratings that Hallmark Channel does, but it seems like this is their bread and butter. It seems like these fans are ardent. They'll show up to watch the movies and that's why it tends to snowball. So it just seems like unless it's not doing well, and every time a Crossword Mysteries comes out, I feel like it's like it was number one in the ratings for whatever. It just seems like you're checking a lot of boxes here. You got actors people want to see, you got a series that people are clamoring for, and it's doing well in the ratings. It doesn't seem like
for me too, Dan. It's a no brainer. You'd think that would be kind of a recipe for continuing on that. You know, I know when Crossword Mysteries came, when they came to me and Lacey, I was shooting Unreal. For Lifetime, And they came to me at the hotel and they said they want to do 5 a year. They wanted to do like 40 or 50 of these things, much like the garage sale mysteries.
Oh, wow.
And so that was kind of why I signed on to that. I thought that might be a really cool. And I thought the idea was interesting if we can kind of find a way to make it work, which we've discussed this before. I think the magician one was 3 and I think 5. The very last one, I thought we kind of got on tracks and found our voice a little bit. But like I said, I mean, I focus on the work and everything else is beyond my pay grade. And I just kind of, yeah. I don't know. I really don't know what's going on. And that's
the honest. 4 or 5 would be so cool, Brennan, because I know you like to dig into a character, but like just imagining getting to like grow your character for 4 or 5 movies, and you could open up the possibility of like a serial killer or things that are cliffhangers. And I think you would just eat that up. I think that's
something. We're watching. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
5 or 6 series where I've had 3 or 4 years on a show. And I mean, there's nothing like being on a series that goes for a year, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever. I mean, obviously the longer the better, to really, really explore a role and find nuances and different things that are really exciting. I mean, Warren Sagan on Cedar Cove lasted 3 years. Imagine what we could have discovered and written and produced and created if we had another couple of years. You never know where these things go. And so, we'll see.
But speaking of like Unreal, like I watched it. At some point I jumped off the wagon with Unreal, but I think the first first season of Unreal is
Unreal.
Really great television.
That's my only season that I really got behind as far as what I felt was the best season was number one.
It was so good. And you start off as this kind of comic relief of this host who is so funny. The timing is great. But then we start to build your character in the show. Yeah. And so did you know that when you signed on, did you know you were going to get to build a character and be more involved? Or did you think you were just in there to be that classic, like, host of the like you were just the perfect, like, quintessential, like, host of one of these ridiculous bachelor-esque games?
They wanted it to be some sort of just, that archetype, that stereotype, that kind of plastic whatever. And I was only signed on to do the first few episodes, and I think they were testing the waters to see, because it was an important kind of foil for the lead ladies and all the cast. And I took it as an opportunity to create a real human being, as opposed to, and if they wanted to let me go, then so be it. But I had a lot of fun. I remember after the first season I had a lot of fun playing it, and then they, where do you go, right? Where do you go with him? Where's Graham gonna go? And the fans loved him, and he became kind of this cult kind of character that everybody loved and hated and loved to hate and everything else. Kind of developed certain stuff. There's a lot of scenes that were cut. There was stuff where I would have one-on-one interviews with the cast, and every time Graham did a one-on-one interview, I thought if he played the interviewer different, wore glasses, maybe a different outfit, someone would see it, he'd become famous, Silver would hire him. Like, he had this kind of, it was all about him,
I'm telling you right now, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but Bran, like, you would look forward to scenes with the Graham character in it. And that was before I knew who you were. I love you, man, but like, this was just like, I didn't know that you were Brennan Elliott. Like, I'm just watching the show with my wife, and you would look forward to these things because you just never knew. Like, it was this thing that was happening within this.
I had a lot of fun playing them, man. Had a lot of fun.
It was a blast. And so,
it was a blast.
Yeah. So
I do agree. The first season was, I think for some reason that season just had, maybe because it was a fresh concept, but it really, really kind of was on. We were on the track and it was kind of moving. And then, you try different things and some worked, some parts of it worked and some parts of it didn't. But, the producers, the cast, the crew, everybody was really cool. And it was a different show. Obviously, it's not some of the Hallmark stuff that I've done in the past. It's a totally different thing. It's a lot darker. But I just, as an artist and as an actor, I find fun in everything, no matter what we're doing. There's always something enjoyable about it. And if it's not, I'll definitely let someone know. I don't want to do that. It's not fun. It's just not enjoyable.
Yeah, that's fair. Since we last talked to you, have two new Hallmark movies, one and really within the last month and a half of each other, one being Open by Christmas, which we'll get to, and then The Perfect Pairing, which just aired. Let's talk about them real quick. Open by Christmas was interesting because it really put the relationship on the back burner to a certain extent.
With Sweeney and her friend or sister.
A friend. And focused on that friend group, which was different, interesting.
Yeah.
So talk about that movie a little bit and what it was like for you to kind of play a different type of role from a... it's not maybe the most important storyline in the movie. It's maybe the second most important one.
I mean, when they brought it to me, I mean, I think I had 20 scenes in the whole movie, yeah. You know, I mean, it's my smallest role I think I'd done since episode 3 of Unreal or something. I mean, it was really small. I thought, well, I'm not even in this. But what I liked was the fact that I was playing this character that was so different. I would never get cast of it in any other light. It was this wallflower kind of emotionally impotent, nerdy kind of insecure guy that I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. And I liked the idea of the you know, long lost love from high school and that whole idea. And decided, you know, I just came off, I think, doing, can't remember what I was doing before that. And I was kind of wiped out. And I thought, well, this will be fine. I won't have to carry the movie. And Allison and Erica Durant, it was kind of more their movie. And so I signed on to do it and ended up having a blast. But it was more because I just felt the story was interesting, but also a little bit out of the box, to be honest. But I liked the character. I wish the character had more to do, but it is what it is, you know?
It was a very different character for you. And it was funny. It was a funny bit. And you're just kind of this goofy dude, selling houses. And I thought it worked really well. At some point, I remember watching that movie going, how has Allison Sweeney not put together that this is the guy? Like, how is she not? Yeah. Like, that was my one thing with that movie was it's like, you know, at some point, 2 + 2 = 4, guys. Like, at some point.
Unfortunately, I think a lot of the fans already, when they saw my name attached to the movie with her, are going to know that I'm going to be the guy.
It's
not rocket science. And I know that a lot of these kinds of Hallmark movies kind of, there's a level of fantasy and you know, illusion you have to accept, you know, yeah. I mean, there's certain things that happen. You just go, that would never happen. Well, in the Hallmark universe, that's kind of what the fans want to see.
For sure.
But there were moments in that movie where I was like, the fans are going to know this within 2 minutes. Like, I mean, I'll try to sell it, but I don't know how I'm going to be able to.
To be fair, there was a movie this season, Brandon Elliott, where stand-up comedian George Lopez plays a bellhop. And he just gets 2 scenes and there's nothing, anything else to it.
George Lopez,
the Latin Kings of comedy, George Lopez had his own sitcom in syndication. Yeah. He shows up for 2 scenes. It never amounts to anything. He leaves. I don't know why I still am baffled by that. So like, you know,
I want to make this very clear. I, you know, if I could do a movie and do as little as possible, and that's fine for me, as long as it tells the story. I wasn't looking for more scenes. It was the smallest role I'd played, which was refreshing and fun. I mean, I think I had like 7 or 8 days off in the whole movie, so I didn't have to do a lot of do a lot of heavy lifting. But you're right. It was a character that is very out of the box. It would be somebody that I probably would not have been thought of for in the beginning. And I actually like the fact of having to play something that didn't, you know, he's not a suave Don Juan. He doesn't have an ability. There's no confidence around the ladies. He's kind of a wallflower. He's very insecure and he's very fearful and he's been holding and pining for the scroll for yada, yada, yada. And I found that little element really interesting to play. But yeah, I mean, I think also too, there's a little bit, and I've seen some of these movies, even with Tyler and Andrew, like they're little pieces where you'll do a scene or two for everybody's movies, you know, like you'll be the lead. So I don't know where the network's going or how they're doing with casting or what. I had an old acting teacher in New York who said, you know, you do your role and you get everything you have and everything else is out of your pay grade, you know?
Yeah. You mentioned you got 7 or 8 days off, 15 day shoot, I'm assuming. Was that you're used to getting in there and for 15 straight days, 100 some pages, like you're just, was it hard to shift gears? Was it hard to just like shift down, or did you enjoy being like, all right, I got a full day today, and then the next day
I enjoyed it.
Yeah,
I enjoyed it. I mean, I had done 24 movies, and, you know, maybe it's always been 3, 4, 5 a year, you know, this I've been working pretty steadily the last 15-20 years nonstop, and this was the first job where I thought, I remember I had a Wednesday to Tuesday off.
Oh wow.
Wow.
So I had like a whole weekend. So I did a little, you know, couldn't do any gallivanting around or do anything crazy because obviously it was still COVID, pretty serious over there. But, you know, I would go and grab some food, maybe go for a run, hit the gym, just watch some old Netflix movies, watch some stuff that, you know, I'm a big documentary fan and I had a list of stuff. So I enjoy any time I get a little bit of a break, I take advantage of it because I know how hard I'm going to try to work when I don't have a break. And
a bevy or two.
A bevy or two.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to sneak in a bevy. Was that the movie with the title with the and you had the questions about
titling? In the credits it says and Brennan Elliott.
Yeah.
Was that a request from you, or was that part of the idea of the script, is to be like, Brennan Elliott's in the movie and they're just trying to hide the fact of his importance of being the long lost love?
I think so. I think it's a part of that maybe, you know, but I'm not the kind of guy when I'm negotiating a movie, I'm not going to be a stickler for ego and be like, no, it's got to be usually a lot of actors want to have, you know, certain billing. I'm not, you know, look, I know what these movies are. The leads are the women, and that's the way the role, you know, that's the way the ball bounces, man. And if your ego gets in the way of that, you're in the wrong network. You got to just understand it's the way it is.
Yeah.
You know, women are the stars, and they have their lead companions, and you got to just put your ego at the door and give the network what they want. And that's your job. And this one, obviously it was, I think I was fourth build, third build maybe, but it was Anne Brennan Elliott, which is a compliment. I mean, I'm not going to, it's cool. But it's Allison and Erica's movie, and I was just happy to be a part of it, and hopefully some of the fans.
Well, I just like, and is like a classic, like, you know, and Christopher Walken, you know what I mean? Like, and Fred Willard.
And humbled and not try to, I'm not trying to, you know, make it sound more than it is, but it is kind of cool to have those kinds of credits when it does happen. Cause sometimes it means that, you know, you have a name enough that at the end when it says, and someone's going to watch it. And the fans were, they came out in droves and they really watched the movie and enjoyed it. And that's all we're doing here.
And then The Perfect Pairing, we just watched it.
You did?
Yeah. Well,
I couldn't get you a copy. I couldn't even get my manager a copy, if you can believe that. We called the producers, but with everything that was going on, I couldn't get it in time, dude.
No worries.
We always try to get a screener because it just makes it easier for us to get everything done. But, you know,
watched it on Saturday myself. So
it's really something. It's just like one of those things where you put in a request for a screener and they're like, not done yet. We'll see what we can do. And it's like the day of, and I'm like, all right, well, good
you're
luck.
Like, you're like, but it's already aired.
It's already is that we it already aired last night. What do you mean it's not
we're
done?
We're still not done with it yet, but we're airing it anyway.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. I mean, sometimes you got to do what you
got
to do, right?
I mean, well, you filmed this a year ago.
Yeah.
And so that
I think I filmed it when Christ came off the cross. or 1988, maybe.
That's right.
No, it was. We shot it in March.
Yeah.
And it was in the midst of, and you know, you and I are, we're friends, so I can say this, but it was COVID hell in Ontario. It was stage at a point where everything was locked down, like McDonald's, you had to basically go through drive-through. I mean, it was rough and there was nothing to do and it was cold and it was a great crew. And then a lot of guys got COVID because it was just the time we were in. And so we had to shut down.
Oh.
And then we came back, I think in June and picked up.
Oh, wow.
Oh my goodness.
Three or four scenes. We filmed all day. And then I think we had one scene the next day that the daughter and Nazneen was in and I was on a plane out. And then we finished it up.
Did you have to double quarantine or was that after quarantines weren't required anymore?
That was after quarantines were not required.
But okay. Because that would have been really something.
Stayed there for 2 weeks.
Man.
Quarantine for 2 weeks before we started. And it was, you know, it was I kept saying in social media, it was a labor of love because we had to, a lot of people had to go through a lot of stuff to get that movie finished. But testament to the network and everybody else just being patient and trying to, you know, create another piece of content that the fans can enjoy. But yeah, it was shot, a year ago almost.
Which is wild because, you know, we hear stories. I mean, we heard a story from Chris where they filmed the movie. They started it after Thanksgiving and it aired that Christmas. And so like, to hear a movie that's been in the can for a year, like that, a year is an eternity for Hallmark. Yeah. I mean, that's a long time.
And what's funny is that movie, I think they did a little blurb about it or earlier, like when the movie was shooting or it got announced like early in last year.
Yeah.
And then we never heard anything more about it. And then Lifetime put out a movie called Ice Wine Christmas this holiday season.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So I watched that, and now I really feel like I know a lot about Ice Wine and nothing at the same time. But I will say this, man, best of the Ice Wine movies. So you got that going for you.
Hey, best of the juice that gives you diabetes.
Mm-hmm. What is Ice Wine? And how is it served? How is it served?
Is it served cold?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
It should be served cold.
Somebody texted me today after listening to our episode. It was like, Ice Wine's not served cold. I was like, it's got ice in the freaking name. And they're like, no, it's just Ice Wine because of the grapes. You know,
maybe it's preference. I don't know. I mean, I actually went and did research for a weekend with a guy that makes wine and makes ice wine up here in LA and California, up in the Napa area. And cause I had extra time because of COVID, I had a couple of weeks before we ended up starting filming. And he told me that you can do it either way, but the way to really taste really good ice wine is to make sure it's cold. You know, the glass is cold, it's chilled. But it's so sweet, man. Like, I remember the guy that plays my dad, Art Hindle, he came over one afternoon. We were just sitting there having some lunch, and I had a bottle of, and that ice wine, actually Hallmark makes that.
Yeah.
They have a wine guy that makes that.
Yeah, they let you know.
And it's tasty. It's excellent. I'm not trying to be a homer here, but it is excellent, but it's very, very sweet. Like,
yeah.
And so Art took it and he goes, oh, I can't have any more of that. I go, why? And he goes, well, I don't want to walk out of here with diabetes, which I found just hilarious. Cause it is sweet.
Yeah.
And then you add a couple cookies to it and you're basically, that was the sweetest pairing, you know, no pun intended.
Well, but, yeah. I felt like you guys were trying cookies in the movie as much as wine. There was a lot of cookie tasting in this film. Like
I wouldn't put cookies and wine together, but
yeah.
You know, yeah. Maybe cheesecake and ice wine is a good mix, but anyway, it was a lot of fun and in Canada we make a lot of ice wine in Canada anyway because we're so cold climate. They do it a lot in Europe. When I did Christmas in Vienna, we had some ice wine. We were in Austria, which was absolutely ridiculously good. Hallmark made some pretty good ice wine. Actually, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, yeah, I feel like I got to try.
Not my forte.
It's just so far removed from anything South Carolina.
Yeah.
Like we would never even totally. Like do an ice wine. Like we couldn't even.
I
think
still
of
can't
like that.
Wrap my mind around it. Really.
Yeah.
So one of the things that maybe you did some research. Maybe you'll know. But early on in the movie, someone comes and you're like, "Hey, the ice wine glasses came. Are there special glasses just for ice wine? And why is it special?"
Smaller. I guess they're smaller and a little wider. Like not what? Sorry, they're small. They almost look like.
Is it like a bulb? Like a little tulip bulb?
Yeah, a little bit. I think that's just for the process of the taste and the smell and whatever. But it's all about the grapes and how they have to be frozen. And when they're in that frozen and condensed place, when you squeeze them, you get a much more concentrated sweet wine. And then through the fermenting process, it's much sweeter. I think that's the kind of principle. I mean, look, this is physics and science at its best. I mean, I didn't get into all that, but. It's an art form for sure. And, I think personally, I just stick to the Pinot Noirs myself.
Yeah. But, well, I mean, yeah. you're in a good spot for it in California. I will say, so I really loved you and Nazneen together. I thought you guys were great together. She's wonderful. She was in a movie last Christmas, as well with 2020 Christmas.
Yeah, she's in Winter Getaway.
She did that too.
Oh, she was in Winter Getaway. She's been in a bunch lately. I thought you two were great. Amnesia storyline, like that was a hard sell for me. But you two were great. Like you two like seemed to really be bringing your A game, and that's even more impressive considering how you shot it. You shut down, had to shoot some more. Can you tell me about the ice wine tasting room? Like how they constructed that? What was going on there? Like.
I don't know if that wine, that vineyard that we were at was Perry Estates. I believe they make the Enniskillen wines, and they had an ice room. I don't know. I don't think it was built for the show. It might have been, but I remember it was like minus 30 degrees in that thing.
Wow.
It was cold, and I know we made it look like maybe it wasn't as cold, but it was cold, and we only had maybe two takes.
Really?
We were at like about 11 p.m. and we had to wrap up because we were getting, we were getting close to the clock ending and we didn't want to go into it much overtime. And that scene was cold. And then the very finale scene was so windy and so cold that, it must have been minus 30 or 40 in that too.
No.
And we only had one take on that.
Wow.
So, because we something happened with the lights and the wind was blowing over a lot of our camera equipment.
Oh,
and we were like, we're only going to have one take here. So,
wow. Now maybe you've done this before, but if it's cold, you're in upstate New York for this movie, allegedly, and you get in a convertible with the top down.
Yeah.
If you just bump the heat up, you're good. Cause
no.
No. Okay. I've never done it. I didn't know if it was a thing. So I'm just.
I guess some people have done it. I mean, like when I lived in Calgary, if it got to like plus 10 or something, you might throw down the old IROC, and bring back the old top. You know, the boys would bring out the IROC and try to be cool. And I'd always be freezing in the back with my eyelids stuck to the top of my head going, this is ridiculous. But, and they blast the heat and the old Bobby Brown soundtrack. Yeah. And you'd think that'd be cool. But no, we actually were stationary and we had a green screen and it was actually a lovely day. And we weren't really driving, obviously.
But
it was cool. It was a lovely day. It was still cold, but it wasn't as bad as some of the other things. But yeah, if it was like as cold as that ice cream or as cold as the last day and they had to drive in that, that scene would have a different element. I don't know if romance would be the first color. I think it might be like, get me the hell out of here.
That's right.
To be clear, I knew it was clearly fake, but the logistics behind it actually happening, like it was an idea. Obviously this guy, in this movie said, hey,
putting the moves on,
I'm going to do convertible. Just trust me, bump the heat and I got hot chocolate and we're good. And I'm just thinking, I don't think you are. I don't think you are good. But
I wasn't.
No.
What I should have said is, you trust me? I got a green screen in the back. We're going to sit in it, and hopefully I'm going to get a little lip action, and good.
Hopefully we're going to get a little lip action. That's exactly right. A little lip action.
I love it.
That's what I'm talking about. What else? Give us a little something to look forward to. Is there anything on the horizon that you're allowed to tease out that maybe that you're a little excited about?
I'm supposed to do a couple Hallmark movies this year.
Okay.
We're trying to find the right ones. Yeah, that's what they want to do, so... I'll do a couple of those. And there's a couple of the projects that are not on Hallmark that are up in the air, and we're just kind of seeing where all that plays out. It's been, it's still in the middle of January, so things are still fleshing themselves out. But so, you know me, someone calls, I'll pick up the phone and try to create some entertainment, you know?
The grind doesn't stop. We had 1 year without a Christmas movie, a Brennan Elliott Christmas movie, and that was a tough year for the fans, for all of us. So.
Yeah, I didn't do one in 2019, I think. 19,
that's right, yeah. And then you were back with Christmas in Vienna in 20, and then 21 opened by Christmas. Then we did Christmas at Grand Valley in 18. You did that one.
Yeah.
We've been doing the pod since 18. So those are the ones we've seen. I mean, we may have seen some ones before then, but those are the ones we've seen. Do you feel good about that? You feel good about a Brennan Elliott Christmas movie? I know it's early, 2022.
I think they'll definitely probably want me to do a Christmas movie. I mean, you know, knock on wood.
Yeah.
I enjoy making them, you know, a Christmas movie. There's a couple other conventions they want me to go to this year too, which I think I will sign on because I had such a good time, when I was in Jersey.
May be at a few of those too, Brennan. You never can tell.
Well, then we definitely have to go out and get a burger.
I like it.
A burger and a bevy.
A bevy.
Burger and a bevy with the boys.
I love it.
That should be the name of a book.
That's the thing we're writing. I'm here for it. I just want to say, I don't really want to live in a world where Brennan Elliott's not doing at least one Hallmark movie a year. I mean, I will still live in that world, obviously, but I don't want to. And so I'm relieved to know that I'm going to get hopefully two this year. That makes my heart happy.
I would like to, you know, I'm pretty relaxed with everything. I just accept what the universe brings, but I it'd be pretty hard pressed not to see me in something hopefully this year, but I might have, worn out my welcome. Who knows, man?
They heard this convertible bit, and they're like, enough of that. Enough of that guy.
Yeah, we'd want to burn into more movies, but did you see him driving a car with one of our ladies at minus 40 thinking that was cool? And he asked her, I don't know. That ain't going to work for me.
Hey, Hallmark, that's on you. You signed off on that.
They played New Radicals. He asked for New Edition. They played the wrong.
I wanted to play Tom Cochran's Life as a Highway, but they didn't want to do that.
Logistics behind that scene. Is that song playing and you're singing along to it? Or no?
They would start it whenever we were sitting down. They would start it.
Yep.
We would listen to it off camera because we wanted to sing it. I didn't know the song because it's been, I knew the song.
Yeah,
but
right.
It had been so long.
25 years.
I was in theater school when that thing came out. So I was like, gosh, this is forever. And we had a choice of a few songs. I don't remember the other two because I think they were horrible, but this one was manageable and they didn't want us to know the lyrics so well because that's kind of cheesy. So we listened to it a few times and then they would go cut on the music and then we'd pretend that we continued to sing the song. And then they would play it in backtrack when they didn't post. So, but it was a lot of fun. I mean, Nazanin and I had a great time, you know, she's a lovely lady and it's always hit and miss sometimes with chemistry. You never know who you're going to connect with or not. And they pump so many of these out that I'm just, glad that I get a chance to work with some pretty lovely ladies. So I'm pretty cool.
Well, I feel like we have pretty good chemistry, Brennan. That's and that right. makes me happy.
We do. Actually, better than probably any of the stars I've worked with.
So that's right. You hear that, Lacey? You hear that, Lacey?
Listen, this is new Hallmark, baby. That's right. Let's do something, pal. Yeah.
Why can't there be a Hallmark movie with the two leads are men?
Just a bunch of dudes just that's hanging right. out. Let's do this
you
thing.
Know, I know they're doing the whole, you know, with the two male, you know, the whole gay couples and all that stuff, which I think is rad. But even just a couple of guys that are brothers or something, and maybe they're like the two leads in a movie.
Burgers, bevies, with the boys.
With the boys.
Hallmark, call us. Burgers, let's do bevies. This.
Yeah, I like that. Burgers, bevies, and the boys, Noel.
Yeah. Oh, this is yeah. what I want. This is yeah. Listen, Brennan, I want you to promise me this. You say, I'll do your two, but only if one of them is Burgers, Bevies, with listen. The boys.
I'm surprised by this point you guys haven't had a cameo.
No. Oh, man. No. We hear that all the time.
I'm going to work on that. I'm going to say, listen, we got to get these guys in a cameo. Maybe I walk into a coffee shop.
Oh, yeah. We're here for it.
Make it happen, Brennan.
I do
at
love
this
the
point.
Idea of Brennan going, listen, I got to provide for my family, and this is my occupation. However, I'm putting my foot down. You don't make a movie yeah. called Burgers, Bevies with the Boys. Yeah. I'm not going to work on your channel anymore.
Yeah.
That's a bold yeah. move, Brennan, and I cannot co-sign that move for you. But no. you do no. it if you want.
And they'll probably come back and say, no, we're thinking on more scenes with convertible cars.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
exactly right.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to change that and to a without.
But I think if I'm in a car with a girl and it's a convertible and in the very, very back, you three guys just pop up. I mean, dude, that'd be rad.
We're handing you drinks. She doesn't yeah. know we're there. We're helping you out.
That's right. It's a,
and it's like it's so cold. She thinks it's hot chocolate, but she doesn't know.
It's a Cyrano de Bergerac situation. We're all giving you lines, Brennan.
Oh, yeah. God, that'd be legend. That'd be just hilarious.
I love this. Let's keep brainstorming this one. Let's do a rapid fire and then be on our way. We'll each ask you three questions about anything and everything. And you got to answer them. Dan?
The coldest day as a kid in Canada you remember. Coldest temperature day.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you, it wasn't when I was a kid, but I will tell you the coldest day I've ever experienced. I did a movie called The Curse of Chucky about that little doll.
Yeah, yeah you did.
Doll. And my best death scene of all time. And the day we did it, we had to cancel filming because it was minus 72. Dude, it was on CNN. It's as cold as Mars. I threw my coffee out of my window and it went,
no.
Swear on my kids, man. Minus 72. And this is in Winnipeg, which we call Winterpeg. And my old man is from about 3 hours west of there, actually. It's west of there. And they have some bitter, bitter, bitter winters, man. Like, it's not even funny. And you'd see... But they have a lot of native Indian tribes and stuff and on the outskirts of town. And these guys are tough. I saw guys walking around in minus 72 with a t-shirt, flip-flops, and shorts.
Stop it.
I swear, just walking around.
As soon as you're as cold as on another planet, you got to get out of there. You got to get out of there. That's not a livable situation.
This is like ridiculous. I'm going to get killed by a 1.5-foot doll and it's minus 72. Yeah. Like, what am I doing here with my life? Where's my career going?
That's right. Yeah, maybe that business degree and a cubicle isn't so bad after all.
Maybe going to be a lawyer was a good idea.
Cold as Mars. Sheesh, what a headline. That makes me think of this question. If you had the opportunity to go to space and spend some time there, would you do it?
No, because I hate flying.
Wow, okay. Yeah, that's a pretty big hang-up.
My brother's a pilot. I've always just, you know, flying is, I'm better now than I used to be. Let me regress. I'm better now. Like, I fly and I'm fine. But there was a time there from probably my late teens to early 30s where you get me on a plane, there was some things were in my bag that was going to have to help me get
there. That's right. Yep. Yeah, I hear that.
Any turbulence. And I think I was young. You need to be in control of everything. And I think that was what made me fearful of it. So going up into space in a tube.
Hard
enough. I'll let William Shatner do that because he's 90. If something blows up, he's already had a good life.
YOLO.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'll pass, even though the concept and the idea of it sounds rad.
Well, you get to say it the rest of your life, I've been to space. I think that's the only positive.
I imagine being there is dope, but it's like getting there.
Yeah.
If there was
if it's like a 3.5-month journey, knock me out for 3.5 months, wake me up when I'm there, like the movie Alien, you hibernate,
yeah.
Put me on the planet, let me swing a golf club or I don't know. and then get me back on and knock me out again. And I can always tell friends, so what'd you do with your weekend? Well, you might, oh, you did. Oh, you had a baby? Oh, that's wonderful. Well, I went to space and hung out in the moon and played golf.
Yeah. So what do you got now? Anything else you want to say?
Yeah, yeah. What's your kid's name? Doesn't really matter.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Have fun with that.
You mentioned lawyer. If you weren't an actor, what would you be? What would be the Brennan Elliott occupation backup plan?
I've been asked that so many times. I wouldn't be a lawyer, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Disrespect to my own lawyer. But, you know, with what I've, you know, obviously my wife's gone through some illnesses and stuff. I would want to be a doctor in cancer research or something. I would want to do something that helps the world in some way, not just talk about it.
Love
you
it.
You know, and I'm not saying that that's the only way. I mean, I have a lot of friends of mine that do a lot of stuff for certain types of movements and charities, and I have a lot of respect for them. And so, I don't know, something that might be like a doctor or something, maybe. I'm kind of dumb as nails. I'm not an education guy. I'm more of a, you know, that's why I got into theater.
Street smarts, Brennan. Street smarts.
You know, yeah. My alphabet's emotion, not, you know what I mean? So, but I don't know. I mean, maybe that, a teacher of some sort, something that you can always walk away feeling like, okay, and gave back somehow, you know, like made it. People better.
What's the most recent TV show or movie that you watched that you would recommend to me to
talk? I'm going to tell you guys something. Outside of your podcast, honestly, I am addicted to Ghost Adventures.
Yeah.
Dude, he loves it.
Friggin' love Ghost Adventures.
I'm telling you something right now. I'm a big documentary. I like true crime. I like stuff that's all, you know, like, cause we live in a world of fantasies half the time. And when you get it, something really gritty and real, it's cool. I mean, I would watch stuff like the Ted Bundy tapes, you know, like stuff like that. Right. And a buddy of mine turned me on to this Ghost Adventure. He's into the paranormal and I never really was. And I started watching it. I think my wife's like, maybe we need a divorce because I haven't seen a week or two. Cause I just sit there and watch this stuff on. I mean, it's just amazing. Like, I told my manager, I said, we should do a movie where I play Zach Bagans. And he goes, who's that? And I go, you're fired.
Yeah, that's right. Get out of here.
If you don't know Zach Bagans, you're not alive. I'm kidding. No, but I mean, I think, yeah, that's a show I'm into right now.
Dude, that's crazy.
Cheesy as it is.
Dan and I, we've watched some good.
We have.
Typically in a hotel room, but for something, there's something about a hotel room that makes you watch things that you wouldn't normally watch.
Yeah.
Like Ghost Adventures.
I'm a big UFC fan.
Oh, okay. Panda's a big UFC fan.
I've missed the UFC since 97.
Wow.
So whenever I go away to film, I go to a hotel. I always, the first thing out of my mouth is Wi-Fi. And can I make sure I can watch the fights? Do you guys have a bar around here or a restaurant? Or can I just use my iPad? But I have to when it's on. That's my unplug from the business candy is.
Fantastic.
Is there was a fight Christmas Con weekend, wasn't there?
Yeah. Big fight Christmas Con. Yeah.
Panda was like trying to figure out a way to. Panda's a huge UFC fan.
Andrew Walker and everybody was downstairs having some food and stuff, and I went right up to my room. They're like, "What are you doing?" I'm going, "I'm gonna watch UFC. I'll see you guys in about 3 hours." And when I came down, they were still there.
That's great.
And I'm a big UFC fan.
So I have two questions, and one's a serious one, which is no fun, and it's only serious for me. But I'm gonna ask this one instead, Brennan. You got a Hawaiian shirt on. You got a dark ball cap on.
Yeah.
You're a mustache away from a pretty great Magnum PI right now.
Oh.
Like, I feel like it, we right. could, like, would could you ever do it, you think? Could you ever?
Totally. I would love it.
I mean, come on.
You kidding me? This was from Hawaii because my wife and I were talking about maybe going to Hawaii, so I put it on, and it's colorful, and it's been really bad weather here, and I just thought I wanted a little sprightly whatever. I remember when they had the auditions. They were auditioning guys for it. When it came out, the new TV series, The Magnum, still on, maybe it's canceled. I wasn't available or something, and I was going to put something on TV. Anyway, it didn't happen. Anyway, they went with some other guy, and I think they wanted to go ethnic. Anyway, make long story short, I was a huge fan of the old Magnum PI. Are you kidding me? Come on.
Yeah.
You know?
Pulled off.
The first thing you would do with that role is get that mustache going.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
The stash would be great.
I would love that.
Hey, the stash and a convertible old like car. I mean,
let's go.
Oh, I will say also, if you know Burgers, Bevies, and the Boys takes off, I think we all do need to stash up for that. I think.
Oh yeah.
Funny, you guys can grow really good beards. I can't grow a good beard. My beard gets. I mean, it's good until I can grow it, and then it's got to get to that like mid stage. And once it passes that, it's good. It's soft. It's, yeah. It works for me. I got a buddy of mine, like within 12 hours, he can grow like a full on like beard, you know,
that's wild.
And it grows beautifully and it's, and I can't do it. So, but you know, we're all real guys. I don't need to wake up and shave my face for you. You pretty boys.
Oh, no. We don't shave. That's why I have a beard.
That's
not
right.
To shave,
I don't want to shave.
Come on.
All right. The Magnum PI made me think of this. What is a show that hasn't been rebooted yet, but that you would be pro rebooting?
Oh man. A show that I would remember. Manimal.
I don't remember Manimal, but I'm looking it up right now.
Manimal, where this guy would change into animals or something. I was talking to a buddy of mine about that like a couple weeks ago. That was really
wow.
One
season in 1983. Yeah.
You know what show I love? You guys are younger than me, but I used to watch a show called Bizarre, like the old comedy shows. Like that was kind of a sketch comedy before SNL was even. Well, SNL was around, but it was kind of that kind of thing. I think those are fun.
Oh yeah.
But if I had to really do a show. And I think you could even do it on Hallmark with all of my heart. It was an idea that I had that obviously got canned. But I would love to do a show like a Love Boat.
Ooh.
Like the old Love Boat show. But it's all the it's like we, Lacey and I, it's all about our inn.
Oh, cool.
But we bring guests. And sometimes we bring other cast members that are actually stars in the network. And they come in and a mystery ensues. We got to solve, much like the Love Boat.
That sounds like it would be a joy to watch.
It would be a joy. And it would be, I think, a monster hit. Because you'd have other Hallmark stars on there. And obviously, everybody loves that kind of, you know, we'd obviously probably have a baby by then or something. But it would all be this kind of, we could combine the mystery and the All in My Heart together and make kind of like a Love Boat, but it's on an inn type
idea. Man, that's fun. I like that a lot.
Make it a show.
Come on, Brennan.
I'll say, going back to our very first conversation about the mystery, I just think, let's just do, we're watching Signed, Sealed, Delivered for the first time right now. Let's just do TV shows. Like, why are we making these
I don't understand
2-hour long boys? I don't either. Like, let's just do show.
I don't either. I mean, I had an idea for them that didn't pan out for other reasons. It wasn't the network. They really wanted to do it, called Stay at Home Dad, about a private detective father and his daughter, and she's the genius and he's the idiot, and they solve crime. And I thought it would have been a sure hit.
It's a great idea.
It's so good.
I mean, who wouldn't tune
idea
in?
Where Lacey and I were thinking about bringing people to the inn, like kind of a Love Boat type idea, which I think is good. But, you know, you give these ideas and you just kind of wait and see what kind of happens. But yeah, I think a series. Like Signed, Sealed, Delivered. I mean, every movie. That's a series. It should be a series. So should Mystery 101 and Crossword Mysteries and whatever else you want to do. You can make series television. And they have One Calls the Heart. They had, you know, obviously Chesapeake Shores. I think they need a new series on there.
What's wild is that like even like the British model of having 6 episodes in a season. Who wouldn't tune in 6 straight Sundays for 6 straight Crossword Mysteries that has mysteries every week, but also has a serialized component to it.
Absolutely.
That lasts for a season. And you can't tell me that's not also cost effective for the network.
Listen, you're speaking my language. I would think that would be an idea it's a no-brainer, but you know, I don't know. I mean, maybe their business model is different. They don't want to do that. I mean, I'm not sure. I know I heard an idea that there is a series idea that they have coming out. I think the cast is a little younger, characters. I'm not sure exactly, but I mean, the idea of them not being able to do a series is falls on deaf ears because they've already had 2 successful series.
Yeah.
And Cedar Cove is successful. And our most success with Crossword, I mean, look, Flower Shop Mysteries, same thing. I mean, he did 3 and then it's over. I mean, there was an audience there for that, even though we hadn't gotten on the track with that idea yet, I think. But I mean, when we did the back-to-back Crosswords, that was the closest we had 2 back to back, and the numbers were through the roof.
Yeah.
So it did really, really well because I think the audience was like, oh, this next weekend. Okay, watch this, watch that weekend. And
yeah.
Because I think that's how people are wired at home that watch TV. They would rather be able to go, okay, I got 22 straight weeks of watching
that's right.
Anatomy or The Good Doctor or whatever. Why can't you do that on this level too? So
that's what I'm saying, man.
That's something I would like to do. I mean, I'd love to just do a series again. I mean, even with Unreal, it was so much fun to know that you could watch 10 straight weeks and see the buffoonery before you, you know?
Yes. Yeah, of course.
We got great ideas. I hope somebody at Hallmark's listening
to
this, because this has been a great, we've got the burgers,
the Bevvies and the boys.
That's just a knockout. I mean, we got great mystery ideas.
I love how you throw that in with the real ones.
Whoa.
Like, just like, you know,
I don't know what you guys are thinking about it, but like
this next idea is Dan, the Man at Christmas. And
that's right.
You know,
I'm going to go home and journal about this.
You so. Are. Do it.
So
get in that journal.
Brendan, it was so good to see you, buddy. This was always so much fun.
Guys.
I hope that we get to do this again. Not too far away.
Anytime, you know.
You're the best, man. Thanks, thank buddy. You so much, as always. Really appreciate
Happy
it.
Happy belated New Year, guys, okay?
You Thanks, too. Man. May we be the first to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Deck the Hallmarks of Bramble Jam podcast. It's presented by Philo TV. It's produced by Brandon Gray and recorded live in, Greenville, South Carolina. Set decor is by Plum at Haywood Mall. For more information on Deck the Hallmark, you can go to deckthehallmark.com. For more information on Bramble Jam Podcast Network, you can go to bramblejampodcast.com.